It's a pleasure to be back here in Leven, or Methil, I don't know how to describe it. Let's see. Anyway, it's good to be here, and we thank you for your invitation, and we trust that God will bless us this evening as we seek to just look at His Word. Now, I'd like to, if you've got a Bible with you, we'll just open it to Acts, and in chapter 16, and we're going to read from verse number. We could almost go back into the previous chapter, but we'll restrict ourselves from verse 6 through the bulk of the chapter, not quite to the end, but through the remaining verses. Let's begin reading at verse number 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city, abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which besought her masters, brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, that's by telling the future. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace, unto the rulers, and besought them, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, "Let these men go." And the keeper of the prison told the same to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore, depart and go in peace." And of course, the rest of the story is very interesting as well. But we'll just stop at that point, and we trust that God will bless the reading of his word. Now, if you want to put a title over my little message this evening, it would be "How the Gospel Reached Europe." How the Gospel Reached Our Continent. Now, I didn't think I need to explain this, what Europe was, but I found out once that someone came to me at the end of the meeting and says, "Where is Europe?" Well, I'm sure their geography must have been very poor. But anyway, Europe is the continent upon which we are presently a part of. Britain is a part of Europe. Now, Europe is the second smallest of the continents. There are seven continents in our planet, in our Earth tonight, and Europe is the second smallest, but it's got the second greatest density of population. But tonight we're not interested in all these figures, facts and figures. We're only interested in how the gospel reached it. Now, Paul, as an apostle, he was sent to the Gentiles. And Paul made three missionary journeys. At least he made three. He was on his fourth trip to Rome when he was, where he was executed. But anyway, he made three missionary journeys. The first of those missionary journeys you will read of in detail in chapter 13 and in chapter 14 of this book that we have read from this evening. Now, he comes home after that journey. It has been a very eventful journey, a very painful journey for him. You'll remember he was stoned at the city of Lystra and left for dead. Now, I'm sure that would have put many a man off, and many a man might have said, "I'm not going out again." But after a number of months have gone past, but by the way, not only was that journey painful, I was just listening to David Buell in the car on the road up, and he said that he got stripes in Lystra, but he also got a son in Lystra. And that son is the man that we call Timothy. He got stripes in Lystra, but he also got sons in Lystra. And that's delightful. Now, there have been a number of assemblies established during that first missionary journey. It wasn't a great, big, long journey, as the others were. In fact, in all of these three missionary journeys, each one is greater than the other. The second missionary journey was longer and greater than the first missionary journey. And then the third was longer again. Just slightly, however, but it was a little longer. Now, we're reading about his second missionary journey this evening. And that second missionary journey begins in chapter 13. They have come back to Jerusalem. They've come back for a particular reason. They have come back with problems. And they have come back to thrash out these problems. And they have thrashed them out in Acts chapter 15. And now they have been sent out again to spread the word of how these problems have been solved. And they're going forth amidst the churches once again. Now, it's very interesting. I thought it was very interesting anyway, to find that Paul comes to Lystra again. Lystra, the place where he had been stoned and left for dead. You would have thought he would have given that a wide berth, but he doesn't. He goes back to it again, and he goes back to Iconium. And he picks up Timothy, and then he makes tracks westward across Galatia and so on. He's coming from Antioch up in Syria, and he's crossing the country into Turkey, as it were, into modern day Turkey. Now he desires, this is very, very interesting, how the gospel reached Europe. He never had intentions to come to Europe in the first place. He would love to have gone south into Asia. That's where his heart's desire was. But it says in verse number six, it says he was forbidden of the Holy Spirit. He's forbidden to go into Asia. And then he would love to have gone north to Mysia. But it says the Spirit suffered them not. Now, this is a very sensitive man we're talking about now. This is a very tender-hearted man. He wants to spread the gospel to these other places as well. But he has been hindered. He has been stopped. He has been prevented. And so he marches on regardless. He doesn't just stop when the Spirit forbids him going elsewhere. He doesn't just stop in his tracks. But he continues. And he continues right across through modern day Turkey, and he comes to the place called Troas. Now if he had walked another step further, he would have been in the sea. So he's prevented by the sea. He doesn't know why he's in Troas, but he's at Troas, and he's stopped by the sea. And it's at Troas that he gets this vision. He says, there appeared unto him a man in a vision. And this man said, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now from Lystra, it has been 400 plus miles across to Troas. He reached Troas. Remember, it's all done on foot. We can hardly walk the length of ourselves today. But the apostle, he walked 400 miles across to Troas. And of course, it wouldn't be very pleasant either. You know, I often think the apostle, he wouldn't be much to look at. Personally, and he wouldn't be much to look at in his clothes. There were no showers or anything like that. You know, he would possibly be, you know, just like a tramp preacher. Like the Lollards. You remember how the Lollards, they were sent out from John Wycliffe down in Lutterworth. And they were called the tramp preacher, the Lollards. And they were out just proclaiming the gospel throughout England. And some of them came to Scotland just with a little handwritten scripture. And they would go to the markets and they would proclaim the gospel, and some of them died for their faith. Here's the apostle, and he's come to Troas. And when he's at Troas, he gets this vision from the Lord. Come over and help us. I don't know if he would have seen that it was only 30 miles from Troas across the sea from there to Neapolis. He possibly could have seen it in a clear day. You know, Greece and Philippi and at least Neapolis, the port for Philippi. He possibly could have looked across and saw it. But he's given this vision. And you know, I think it's very, very interesting. He's out confirming these churches that he has already established, but he's ever looking for new ground to go to. And it's good how God guides. You know, you'll notice the certainty of this man as he moves forward with the gospel. It says he saw a vision. Now it was him that saw the vision. The others didn't see it. I do trust you noticed that in verse 10. And after he had seen the vision. It's singular. Immediately we endeavoured. That's Paul and the party that were with this little apostle. You know, it was Paul that saw the vision, and yet it was the party that moved forward. And says the Holy Spirit in this particular chapter, we endeavoured. That's the human effort. They were prompted by the vision. And then there was the urgency of it all. It said, immediately. No, there was no holding back. There was no holding a conference to see whether that were the Holy Spirit or not. This man, you know, he'll not be stopped. He's relentless in his pursuit of the will of God. He appreciates that there might be lots of things that might seek to hinder him. But it says immediately, we endeavoured. That's the human part of it. We endeavoured. And it said this, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. And so he makes for Europe. Paul is driven to Philippi, to Troas, and then he's driven, and it says he came with a straight course. Now, he does exactly the same journey and a chapter later on in this, and it takes him double the time. But it seems in this time that he's doing it with a straight course. He goes straight over the sea. You know, we were up in Banff this year. We took a caravan up to Banff, and we got a wee trip out with a fisherman. And this fisherman, he said a very, very interesting to me. A very, very interesting thing to me. He says, the Lord speaks about the paths of the sea. The paths of the sea. You know, you see, when you go out to sea, you could go left, right, or whatever. You could steer the boat erratically if you wanted. But you know, the Bible speaks about the paths of the sea. There are pathways through the sea. That's how these fish migrate and then come back to where they were. They come back up the same path as they have gone down. They come up the paths of the sea. Interesting, isn't it? Paths of the sea. And here is Paul. He's making this journey over to Neapolis, and he's making it across the path of the sea. He's heading on a straight course. Now, you mark the difficulties that the apostle gets when he gets to Philippi. This is a gospel meeting now. You mark the difficulties. There are no welcoming party to meet him. Where's the man that he met, and where's the man he saw in the vision? Yeah, I think it was Horatius Bonar that said, the man turned out to be a woman. Well, it was a woman that first of all was saved in Philippi. But there's no welcoming party. And there's no immediate teaching. It says after certain days. And so he's reconnoitering around Philippi. Now Philippi is not like Athens. It's not a city in which he's going to be stirred to the bosom of his being by these false idols and these gods that are on every hand. But he's in Philippi, and he's in this first city of Macedonia. And there's no immediate preaching. In fact, there's no preaching according to this chapter here. You know, there are people who are saved in this chapter, and they're saved not as a result of preaching. Now, we are told to elevate the word, and we are told to preach the word. And I'm not demeaning that in any way. That is God's intention for each one who preaches the gospel, is to preach the word. That's what he said to Timothy in that last chapter that he wrote before his execution, before his departure from the scene. He said, preach the word. But there's no preaching in this chapter. You will notice that from these small beginnings, and you know, there was a lot of it fraught with danger. And I want you to mark the individuals that the gospel reached. How different they were. Lydia. She's a religious lady. She's in Philippi. And of course, it's very, very interesting why she's in Philippi. You know, if Paul had gone on his intended journey to Asia, he would have come to Thyatira, where this lady lived. Now, she's not going to be saved where she lives. She's not going to be saved in Thyatira. But Paul is going to be instructed to go over to Macedonia, or to present-day Greece. He's going to be encouraged to go over there. And this lady is going to meet him in Macedonia. Interesting, eh? I remember hearing a story about a man who is presently in fellowship in a meeting down in Renfrewshire, Linwood. And he had to be taken all the way. He was a member of the Merchant Navy. And he had to be taken all the way to Auckland to hear the gospel, which he could have heard in his native city of Glasgow. But God took him all the way to Auckland for him to get saved. Eh? That's how God does things. You know, God doesn't do things predictably. He saved me in the village in which I was brought up. He saved me in Shield Hill. But then God saves folk, and it would be interesting just to go around the different company and just see how God saves you. God saves folk in different ways. You know, I heard about a man coming in a submarine into Stornoway Harbour from a NATO exercise, and he was saved. Below the surface of the water in a submarine, just coming in. My own mum was saved in a tram car, the top deck of a tram car, on the road into her work. From Airdrie to Glasgow, when she wasn't brought up under the sound of the gospel. I don't know how she heard it for the very first time, But anyway, God spoke to her and she was saved. Exactly there. Now, God is going to save this lady. Not in Asia where she belongs, not in Thyatira, but he's going to bring her over. And maybe in our meeting tonight, maybe there's someone, and you're away from home. And maybe God has brought you away from home just to speak to you, and just to save your precious soul. Now, it goes down to the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Why is he at the riverside? Why is he not in the synagogue? Well, Philippi didn't have enough folk to make up a synagogue. It took 20 people to make the quorum up for a synagogue. So there was no synagogue in Philippi. Now, there was a common place for prayer in these places where there was no synagogue, and it was down by the riverside. So Paul makes for the riverside, where it was known that some devout Jews would be praying. And there he meets with this lady, Lydia. And Lydia, she's just open to the Word of God, just open to the Scriptures, just open to God's way of salvation. But it says that God, the Lord, opened her heart, and she heard, and she believed. Wonderful, isn't it? Now, I've got a question for you tonight. I don't know if she was saved at this point or no. I don't know. It says, the Lord opened her heart, and she gave heed to the things which were spoken of by Paul, and she was baptized. So maybe her heart is being opened to the truth of baptism. Maybe she had been saved before this. But anyway, she is baptized. And as we heard yesterday at the birth conference, you know, Malcolm Radcliffe was speaking, and he spoke about it being the happiest day of his life. He never felt any excitement when he was saved, but he felt it. He felt it, he was happy because he was just doing what God commanded. Eh? If there's someone here and you're not baptized, let me tell you, God's next step for you after salvation is baptism. Now, there's a lady, and she's saved. And then there's a damsel, this demon-possessed lady. This lady who was doing fortune-telling, and was doing it for the profit of some, there were some men in the background who were making profit out of this. And they were very, very upset when she got saved. Because, you know, that was their means of livelihood gone. However, God, he saved this lady called Lydia. Then he saved this lady called the lady with the divination. And then he saved the jailer. And let me tell you tonight that all three needed the gospel. Eh? All three needed salvation. All three needed to be saved. That's the message that comes from these folk. Let me tell you tonight, it doesn't matter into which category you fit, whether you fit into the religious group, or whether you fit into this lady who's as far away from God as possible, this young damsel, or whether you fit into the cruel jailer. You know, each one of us needs to be saved. And thank God, God does save us in our downward course. They all got saved, and each one received it without preaching. You know, it says concerning Lydia that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. So Paul just merely speaks. He merely just converses. He merely just communicates with this lady and her group, and she gets saved. It's good when folk get saved just through normal conversation. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of just conversing. I haven't had it, but you know, I don't know if you've had it. Just conversing with someone and I'm getting saved. But God can save just through normal conversation. I heard the story about a man that went onto a plane, and of course there wasn't many folk on the plane, but he had asked the Lord for a contact, that the Lord would give him a contact on the plane. So as he gets on the plane, he sits down beside this lady, and the lady says, "Would you mind just moving from that seat? I'm trying to stretch out and get a little rest." So he moved across to another man. He sat down beside him. And of course, the man says, "Do you mind moving? Because I'm just trying to get a little rest on this plane." And so and so he's feeling quite bumped about it. And then the Air Force desk came across and said, "You can sit anywhere, sir. There's plenty of seats." So he sat down, and then the Air Force desk came to him later, and she spoke to him. And she said to him, you know, there's plenty of seats on the plane, you can sit where you like. And so they got into conversation, and she said, "Is this trip, is this pleasure or business?" He said, "Both." He said, "I love my work." He said, "I'm a preacher of the gospel." So he got into conversation with a lady, with the Air Force desk on the plane. And before the journey was over, the Air Force desk had got saved. God can still save through conversation. Then there's the other lady, and it says, these men show unto us. They show it by their lives. They show unto us the way of salvation. And then when you come to the jailer, he's not saved. In fact, possibly he's saved through singing. He's waking up with these men singing at night. And there is this gentleman as well. Now, when we come to the jailer, I've written over him from cruelty to conversion. He is a cruel, hard, bitter man. I just wrote this today in my Bible. You know, Paul and Silas, they had stripes in their back. This man had two things in his hand. He had a scourge or a whip in his hand at the beginning of the story. And then he's got a sponge in his hand at the end of the story. He's washing the stripes. Eh? He's inflicting the stripes at the beginning. And at the end, he's washing the stripes. He's trying to ease them of the pain that he has inflicted. You know, that's conversion, isn't it? And what happened in between? Well, you read the story. He says, he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eh? That was the difference. I was thinking of Paul and Silas, and I was just going to tell you what I had written down in my Bible today, in the margin of the book. Paul and Silas had stripes on their backs, and they had songs on their lips, and they had stocks on their feet, and they had sincerity in their hearts. You know, that's the kind of folk that God blesses, eh? Here are men, and while they're in jail, and it says it was at midnight, the darkest hour of the night. It was at the time when they should have been dumped. You know, they're in this, well, it wouldn't be a very pleasant cell. I was going to say rat infested, but, you know, who knows what like it would be. The scriptures didn't say much. But it wouldn't be very pleasant. And they're in the innermost jail. And they've got their backs against the wall, the backs that have been given so much ill treatment. And they're beside the other prisoners, and maybe the other prisoners, they're grumbling and groaning. And this is what it says, Paul and Silas, they sang praises and prayed to the Lord. You see, these men, they're just glad to be in the will of God. They're just glad to be doing something for God. And they're glad that the folk have taken notice of them. And, you know, I don't know what hymn they would be singing. But it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. And as that earthquake, as it shook the prison, and it's a kind of fantastic earthquake as well. I don't know if you thought about that. You know, it doesn't say, it says, and every man's bands were loosed. You know, it's an earthquake that loosens every man's bands, but it doesn't kill any of them. And of course, you know, it's a fantastic kind of earthquake. I'd like to spoke on that. But anyway, every man's bands were loosed. And in jumps the jailer with a sword in his hand. And he's about to commit suicide. He's about to fall on his own sword. When Paul calls out of the darkness, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all heathen." And the man comes in, and he springs in, he gets a light and he springs in. And he said this, "What must I do to be saved?" And he hears Paul say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." What a message! Believe. You think of the simplicity of it tonight. Believe. Nothing to do. Nothing to bring. No effort to put on. No money to pay. Believe. On the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the subject of it. Thou shalt be saved. You think of the security of it. This man was saved just by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. You know, if you've got trouble believing tonight, you need to get to the Lord. You need to say, help thou mine unbelief. Like these two blind men of old. What are the consequences of not being saved? The consequences of not being saved are that if you believe not, ye shall die in your sins. And where I am, thither you cannot come. You'll never be in heaven if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus. He said, if thou believest, thou hast eternal life. If thou believest not, thou art condemned already. That's the consequences of not believing. But the consequences of believing is this. Saved from our sins. Delivered from our guilt. Freed and pardoned. And given a place in heaven. What a joy this evening to be saved. And here are three men. Here are three folk anyway. And they're saved. And it's exclusive tonight. There's no other way. There's no other door. Escaping Christ alone. This is the difference that faith makes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We trust that God will bless these few thoughts to us this evening as we bring them to you. How the gospel reached our continent, and then how it has come from Philippi over to England, and eventually up to Scotland. We're thankful tonight that it has reached Leven. We're thankful tonight that it has reached our parts. You know, there are folk who don't want the gospel. Thank God tonight God has given us ears to listen to his message. Thank God he's given us eyes to see beauty in his Son. Thank God he's given us hearts to believe in him. We should be very, very grateful that God has delivered us from all this apathy and indifference all around us and given us a holy joy of salvation in our souls. Shall we pray? Well, Father, we bow before thee at the end of our meeting, and we thank thee once again for the lovely Saviour that we have been pointed to. And we thank thee, O God, that some of us in the meeting have trusted in him, at least. O God, we pray for everyone in our meeting, that they might just come to trust him for themselves. We do thank thee once again for the gospel and its reach. We thank thee, O God, it reaches to all manner of people. We've been looking at three different individuals tonight who found salvation through trusting in the Lord Jesus. We do pray that, oh, just take us from this place and safely and take us to our homes. And if someone has a difficulty receiving with this message, oh God, we'll only be too delighted just to speak further about these lovely things. We offer you our thanks and ask you to take us home in safety. As we come to give thee our thanks in the Saviour's name. Amen. Maybe just a verse of a hymn. I've lost where it is now. Verse 269. The first and the second verse only. I hear thy welcome voice which calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. 269, verse 1 and verse 2.